Good morning, Ian.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
No worries.
So I guess to start off with, could you just walk us through what some of the findings are? For example, like what it actually means if they have broke anti-money laundering laws 23 million times. How does that work?
Yeah, not just once, is it? Okay. Essentially, AUSTRAC, which is the regulator of Australia's anti-money laundering counter-terrorism response, has put a statement of claim against Westpac. In that statement of claim, it says that it believes Westpac has not carried out its obligations under the AML-CTF Act, and in particular, they've cited two areas. One is their what they call correspondent bank relationships, which really are small intermediary banks that come from small, lesser-known jurisdictions, for example, the Congo. And they're saying that there were 19.5 million odd transactions associated with money facilitation with those banks, and the value of that was about $9 billion. They're saying that basically, Westpac didn't bother to find out who the ultimate payer or payee was for those transactions. So the smaller banks bundled them up, sent them one file without sufficient information for Westpac to really understand where the money was going. So that's one set of allegations. There's another set of allegations about their due diligence obligations, which really is to know your customer. So anyone that's involved in high volume money transactions, particularly the banks, have an obligation to know who it is that they're dealing with. And that's referred to as the know your customer obligations, and banks should have a anti-money laundering program which tells instructs their employees how to understand who their customers are, and where they see a suspicious transaction, then that needs to be reported to the regulator, AUSTRAC. AUSTRAC cites 12 particular customers in their statement of claim, where they're saying that the customer wasn't properly assessed, and the large number of low-value transactions to those customers weren't properly monitored over a period of time. Now, in that base of 12 example customers, they have cited a number of transactions that are linked to child exploitation typologies, particularly located in the Philippines and Southeast Asia.
Wow, that was there's a lot in this case that is just coming to fruition. So I guess just going back to that first allegation and around AUSTRAC, who are the regulator in this instance, who have done all of that reporting. When it comes to Westpac, how long has this misconduct been reported for going for?
This discussion covers about 5 years. However, it's a statement of claim, so the statement of claim would concentrate on a period of time rather than say, well, this is the totality. The statement of claim, of course, has to get up in a court, so they will concentrate on information that they know more about. So we're talking about a period of at least 5 years.
And you were also mentioning about that obligation to know your customer. Is that a phrase, or could you explain what that is?
Okay. Know your customer is a phrase that is well worn amongst anti-money laundering counter-terrorism legislations around the world, and it comes from the directions from United Nations agreements that Australia belongs to, and it's encompassed in the AML-CTF Act and the obligations for prescribed businesses, of which banks are one. Now, what it really means is that you need to know who your customers are when you're opening accounts for them, when you're providing services to them, and along the way, monitor that those services are within what you would expect for that customer. And if they're not within what you'd expect, you need to understand why not, and where such variations of your expectations may be suspicious, you need to report them to AUSTRAC. Now, I guess we're familiar with the requirement for if someone comes in and puts more than $10,000 cash over the counter, then that has to be reported to AUSTRAC. It's less clear, but needs to be worked through on a risk assessment basis. Large numbers of small transactions, for instance, going to one location overseas, and that's the pattern that's been cited in these 12 examples. So Westpac has an obligation to know who it is that is receiving that money, because they're facilitating the overseas transfer for that money. I guess when you think of the simplest, know your customer. When you go in to open a bank account, people refer to this 100 points system where you've got to show your license or your passport. That's part of know your customer. That's how you identify who you are to the bank, so the bank can decide if it's going to open an account for you.
The allegations in this case are far and many, and as we mentioned earlier, the bank has also been accused of potentially facilitating transactions relating to child sex abuse in Southeast Asia. So I'm curious to ask on your opinion in this case. You know, we've got the know your customer aspect, we've got the laundering aspect, and then we've got this other unrelated case. All of these in combination together, how might this impact the court hearings before a judge for Westpac?
Well, at the end of the day, it's up to the court to decide, and certainly the maximum fines associated with this would be, you know, well in the trillions, so consequently that would be too much for the bank to handle. So it'll be negotiated down, but it could be negotiated down to round about $1 billion, which would put Westpac in the unenviable position of being responsible for the largest corporate fine in Australian history, which would exceed the $700 million that Commonwealth received not so long back. So the discussion will be around the levels of penalty, but the penalty is significant. You're already seeing that the bank itself taking action with the resignation of the CEO and brought forward of the resignation of the chairman. That's because the AML-CTF Act has to be aligned with the overall business risk philosophy, which comes from the board down. So this is connected to high-level strategic management of the business, and the board can't duck for cover. The initial statements that came out last Thursday indicated that this was a low-level issue. I assure you that that's not the way the court would view it.
And in light of the findings from this report, and also just in the wider conversation relating to the Royal Commission on the banks, what kind of impact do you think these findings will have in the long term from your perspective?
Can anything get any worse for the bank? look, it's just another confirmation of, what I see as a reader, the arrogance of the banks, their capacity to ignore the laws of the land and their obligations under those laws. If you look at the facilitation of intermediary banks that Westpac conducted, they deliberately went outside the SWIFT system, which is the generally accepted system amongst international banks, and set up a cheaper bundled system in order to provide a cheaper product. There wasn't the appropriate risk assessment on that cheaper system that says, well, it doesn't really comply with our obligations. They did it for commercial advantage.
Well, as the banks would always say, it's always time for all of us to pay our dues eventually. It seems like they're doing their own. Thank you so much, Ian, for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me.